Hare Krishna. So from your clap, I could understand how much you like Ratnaradhika singing. Hare Krishna. So does anybody have any question? Yes, Chandrasekhar. Yeah, take the mic.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. We understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a liberated soul, sinless. So his writing these words are an expression of his humility. As for us, or at least for me, and I think most of us, we can genuinely identify with the things that are described here. Like, we really do have these tendencies described. So how do we... I'm just trying to understand what the purpose of this song is, and what is the difference between Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing this and our singing it and identifying with it.
Yeah, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us how to develop this attitude of the humble attitude. Because unless and until we literally identify these defects in us, we won't be able to surrender to Krishna. Generally, what do we think? Oh, I am so pious and I am so good and I should always get the best. And if I don't get the best, then we become envious. When we see that somebody else is prospering, you know, our heart becomes so sad and afflicted. So, we have to learn to give up those tendencies. Then only we'll be able to surrender ourselves to Krishna. Instead of thinking that our life is full of sinful activities, if we think that our life is full of pious activities, I am so good, I am the best in all respects. And when we think that we are the best, then we think that we deserve all the credit, we deserve all the appreciation, we deserve all the glory and honor. And when we don't get that, we become upset. And in order to get that, we take to so many deceitful means. And then when we see that somebody else is actually getting the appreciation, getting the recognition and credit, then we become envious. Isn't that the natural tendency of a living entity in the material nature? The point is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us that give up those tendencies. Because unless and until you give up those tendencies, unless and until you identify these tendencies, there is no way you can rectify yourself. And the way to rectify is to surrender to Krishna. So in order to surrender, we have to cultivate this attitude. Are you going to do that? What happened? Yeah. You have already done that. Very good. You have surrendered yourself to Krishna. And that's it's very nice. Yes, Santosh. Give the mic.
Maharaj, this humility, I mean, it looks like some people are like born humble, whereas some people, in spite of practicing devotional service or something, it's difficult to be humble. So I was wondering, why is that some people are like born humble? Based on this bhajan from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it looks like I mean, generally we feel that a person is humble based on how he reacts externally, like how he deals with his seniors or friends, you know, more like. But based on this song, it looks like it's nothing to do with external, but more like internally identifying all the anarthas. So I was wondering, like, how does, you know, these two things?
Yeah, very good question, very good point. When you say that someone is born in a certain way, then we have to understand that from his previous life, he has developed certain characteristics. Like, for example, Yudhishthira Maharaj is born pious, and Duryodhan is born sinful. Right? From the birth, it has been like that. We have to understand it's because of their past karmic reaction. And according to that, individuals act. And that is, you can say that, you know, the simple way of seeing it would be, that is the shape of their subtle body. And subtle body is the product of karma. And then as you were saying, that ultimately it's a matter of cultivating what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing out, that the inner cultivation. So whatever we are, humble or arrogant, in order to surrender, we have to cultivate this attitude. Sometimes someone may be pious and very good, but there may be some pride born out of, you know, pious deeds. It happens. Like that's why you find oftentimes many people in India, although they are quite pious, they can't surrender to Krishna. They are pious, but not humble. They are pious, but do not recognize Krishna's supreme position. So that is why there is a need of training. That's why there is a need of guidance. And ultimately it doesn't matter whether we are pious or sinful. A person may be very sinful, but if he recognizes his sinful condition and then surrenders himself to Krishna, he'll make it. For example, Jagai and Madhai. They were so sinful, extremely sinful individuals. And also in course of our preaching, we'll also see that so many sinful people recognize their sinful condition, and understanding the consequence of their sinful activities, they surrender to Krishna, they become devotees. And once one becomes a devotee, then his past shouldn't be taken into consideration. It has been advised that a Vaishnav should not be judged by his past. To judge a Vaishnav according to his past is an offense, is a Vaishnav aparad. So whether one's past is pious or sinful, it doesn't matter. But the question is to surrender to Krishna. There are some people who are very pious, like Jarasandha and Shishupal, who are very pious actually. They were feeding the brahmanas, Karna also. Karna was extremely pious individual, extremely charitable, extremely truthful, but couldn't surrender to Krishna. And the result is, all their piety, all their assets were a waste of time. So ultimate consideration is to surrender to Krishna. And when you surrender to Krishna, then everything is achieved. If we don't surrender to Krishna, then everything is a waste. I mean, proper simple example, if you look at it from that perspective. If you water the tree from wherever else, it's going to bear any fruit. Unless and until you water the root of the tree. And when you water the root of the tree, then you won't have to worry about anything else. then you know the entire tree now is satisfied. Yes, Mother Krishna Priya.
One thing that I was wanting more of your feedback on that I thought would be really helpful is that sometime in the process of devotional service with recognizing the unwanted things in the heart and recognizing the anarthas, that sometimes a tendency towards lamentation could arise that could lead to not being productive when one feels overwhelmed by their unwanted qualities. How to have that, you know, humility and have that, you know, working on your anarthas lead to, you know, the productive march to going closer to Krishna instead of becoming too self-absorbed.
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we have to understand the difference between humility and self-pity. They're not the same thing. Like, the self-pity is unproductive, but humility is positive. That the humility, the person may not be, the person may be extremely qualified, but he maintains a humble attitude. Like that is one of the qualities of a Vaishnav. I think it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's description that I'm forgetting the Bengali expression. It actually the meaning of it is that although he is extremely qualified, but he thinks himself to be useless. So that is like he thinks himself unqualified, incapable. At the same time, he is actually extremely competent. And that is a devotee. Like, it is not that he is lacking those qualities, but he is not identifying, or he is not really taking credit for those qualities himself. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes? Oh, you have a Ratnadadi? You have a question? Anyway, let her... Yeah. You have a question? Yeah.
Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, this is related to what Mother Krishna Priya was asking, but a devotee who is humble and feels himself the lowest, at the same time, how does a devotee remain confident and assured in his, because when he's doing service and he's preaching, a devotee is very confident and...
A devotee's confidence comes from his dependence upon Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Like, he knows, he feels that he doesn't have them. He doesn't possess anything. But he knows that his father... has everything. Right? So he depends upon his father. Like Prabhupada, I mean, everybody could see how successful Prabhupada was. But whenever some credit was given to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada used to say, no, I didn't do anything. It's my Guru Maharaj and Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who did everything. And they're just giving me the credit. This is another aspect of a humble disposition. Like, he's not taking the credit for whatever he has done himself, apparently. Because ultimately he knows that he has been able to do that only because of Krishna's mercy. So devotees may be humble, but they are not... they are not incompetent. They are not. They don't lack confidence. Like another example, Hanuman is very humble. So this Hanuman actually, Hanuman and Arjun, Prabhupada often used to give these examples of a devotee's disposition. Like Hanuman is capable, I mean he's the most capable individual actually. Right? But in front of Lord Ramchandra, he's so humble. But in front of Ravan, he is death personified. So that is the mood of a devotee. In front of Krishna and Krishna's devotee, he is extremely humble. But in front of the offenders, they're extremely arrogant. Yes, Sachin.
Guru Maharaj, I can speak only for myself. When I read this and sing this bhajan, and many times I contemplate that all these qualities, some or the other, some of them even to a higher degree, are in me. And I pray to Krishna many times that please help me to get rid of them. And I fail. Does that mean that Krishna is not listening to my prayer and I'm going to keep feeling?
There are two ways of looking at it. Either Krishna is not listening to your prayer or your prayer is not sincere enough. So that's how we have to take it. That I'm praying. And it doesn't matter. Because you see, you cannot judge yourself. Let others judge you. And a devotee will always feel that, that I am sinful, I am fallen. It is not that at some point devotee will think, okay, now I got rid of my sinful reactions. No. The more he advances, this attitude will become more and more enhanced. It's not that at some point, when you become pure devotee, we will feel that now I am a pure devotee. No. The spiritual domain is diametrically opposed to the material. And its effect is therefore diametrically opposed. Like a devotee, more he makes advancement, more humble he becomes. You get the point? Like as you are saying that you are praying and you are seeing that you are still not free from these defects. And the answer to that is, no, you will not become free from these defects in your mind. Rather, you will feel you are becoming, the more you are advancing, you'll feel yourself to be more fallen. And that's why at a very advanced stage, like consider Haridas Thakur, didn't even go to Jagannath temple. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, similarly, maintain such a humble attitude. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is actually seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes in his heart and writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he is telling about himself, that Purishir Kit Hoite Muishe Loghishto, Jagai Mathai Hoite Muishe Papishto. I am more fallen than a worm in the stool. And I am more sinful than Jagai and Mathai. So that is how a devotee feels. It's not that spiritual life means at some point, oh, now I'm a pure devotee. No, it works the other way around. A neophyte thinks that he's a pure devotee. A neophyte thinks he's the best devotee, most advanced devotee. And a pure devotee thinks that everybody else has become devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee. That is why Uttamadhikari cannot preach. Because how is he going to preach if he feels that everybody else has become a devotee, only he couldn't become a devotee. Yes, Mahesh.
Guru Maharaj, thank you very much for giving this wonderful association. Taking your time out and, you know, giving us...
Thank you.
My question is, when the name came up, Karna, I remember that question I had is in my mind for a long time. Even though Lord Krishna came and told Karna, please come to our side, you know, fight for Yudhishthira or Pandavas. Now, is that that Karna's association was that strong that he couldn't change his mind, or what is the situation there? Because even Krishna himself came and told.
The answer to that will be, like Prabhupada often used to use an expression, society, friendship, and what was the thing that Prabhupada used to say? Society, friendship, and love. You see, people become attached to that, you know, their relationship, material relationship. Sometimes these people are very moral. They judge things from the point of view of morality. But Mahabharata is pointing out that these are all material considerations. There are only two considerations, Krishna or not Krishna. Ultimately, these are the only two considerations. But there is another consideration, the social, moral consideration. How can I leave my friend now? That was Karna's point. How can I desert Duryodhan? You know, he came forward to help me at the most critical condition of my life. He gave me everything. So I am indebted to him. I am grateful to him. Therefore I cannot leave. Society, friendship and love. Let them be on one side and let Krishna be on the other side. That should be our consideration. Let the whole world can be on one side and Krishna be on the other side. I am going to go for Krishna. Same position, a moral consideration.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. So, yes, Aditya.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, in the starting, you were mentioning how the living entity is actually superior nature as compared to the material nature, which is inferior nature. So, if you consider in terms of energies, as superior energy and inferior energy, and then you mentioned how because it's superior, we have the tendency to lord it over. I was just thinking that why is it always that we living entities as superior nature are unsuccessful in our attempts to lord it over the inferior nature? Because if you consider superior, then it should always be able to dominate the inferior. But we are always like unsuccessful to lord it over the inferior material nature. So why is it that?
That is because qualitatively we are superior, but quantitatively we are very minute. We are superior because we are conscious. But our ability to control, we have none. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that why we are not able to get what we want, because our craving is spiritual. But we are trying to fulfill that spiritual craving through material achievements. So it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. You know, it's two different dimensions altogether, you know. So therefore, materially we'll never be able to get what we want, because what we want is spiritual. Therefore, unless and until you go back to the spiritual platform, we'll never become satisfied. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Bol.